Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. One of the snags about being in the Navy is that you're liable to be sent on what's called an exercise. It's anyone's bet as to when these exercises are liable to start. In fact, as a bookmaker, you could probably run an exercise book. Yes, Robin's rather proud of that one. What do they want Laurie Wyman for? Robin could write this, surely, but... Now, getting back to naval exercises, Captain Povey's dreaming up a corker for Troutbridge this week.
Good morning, Judy. Seen Captain Povey?
Of course I have, sir. I work for him.
Yes, I'll try starting again. Is Captain Povey in his office this morning, Judy?
Oh, yes, sir, of course. Well, he works here, too. I thought you knew that, sir.
Yes, I did, actually.
Mr. Murray wants to know if we could see him.
Oh, all right, then.
What is it? Oh, have you got your elbow on the buzzer again?
No, I don't think so. The three you wanted to see from Troutbridge are here, sir.
Oh, they are they? Send them in.
Very good, sir. He said that...
Don't bother, we heard.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in. Time's getting short.
Well, in that case, it won't keep you, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Wait. What's the matter with you three?
I won't bite. Could we have that in writing?
Yo, sit down, for goodness sake.
Sit down? What, us? In your office? Oh, it's a joke, he's gone potty. Sit down. I think I'd rather take a running jog. Sorry, pardon.
Do you think he's settled yet?
Well, hard to say, sir. Let's carry on and hope for the best.
Mm.
Well, basically, I've asked you three here to let you know that you're going on a landing exercise.
Oh, me leg. Oh, and now. Yes.
Where?
Oh, I've got them. Yes. The dreaded and all-feared twinging screws have struck again. Oh, they're ready to be identical, you know, sir. Yes, they are. Just let one great aunt catch them, and the old family can be wiped out in a few hundred years.
Yes, all right. All right, you can forget all about that, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee. You're going on this exercise if the rest of the ship's company have to carry you.
Well, sir, I'm no lightweight, but if it'll make you happy,
Chief.
Bobby...
Sir?
Belt up. Now, where have I heard that before?
To continue, you will sail in Troutbridge as far as Falmouth. Once there, you will anchor, and half the crew will be put ashore up the Percule River, just here on the chart, above Percule Yacht Basin.
When is this, sir?
Tuesday at 1700.
Now, just a minute. Now, 1 o'clock is 1300, 2 o'clock is 1400.
Before you run out of fingers to count on, Mr. Phillips, 5 o'clock.
In the afternoon, sir.
Oh, thanks. That's jolly helpful of you.
Not at all. We're used to it. Now, half the crew that you put ashore then will represent the terrorists and be dressed in civilian clothes. You three will then attempt to make a landing in the area that night in one of the sea boats. Always, provided you still have your sea boats.
Oh, you can be cruel at times, sir.
Thank you. You will then try to capture the terrorists and take them back to the ship. There is one other condition, and that is you are not to receive any assistance from civilians or divulge to anyone what you're doing. You are to get the terrorists back to the ship and sail to Plymouth unaided. Any questions?
Are we to put an officer in charge of the terrorists, sir?
No, just a leading seaman. Now, this is an exercise for personal initiative, and it's up to you three to capture the terrorists and report to Naval HQ at Plymouth. I shall be there, waiting.
Oh, well, that's something to look forward to.
Well, supposing we get captured, sir?
Yes, I don't doubt that you will be. However, if you are, don't bother to put in any requests for leave for a bit, will you?
How about sick leave, sir? I mean, when a lad's been struck down with a twinging screws, it's hardly likely...
Sick leave included.
Cool. Blackmail.
See you in Plymouth, gentlemen. Have a nice trip and... happy landing! Easy now. Easy.
Any sign of Goldstein and the terrorists, Chief?
No. And if they know what's good for them, there won't be, sir.
I suppose you didn't by any chance have a word with him and explain the advantages of not capturing us, Chief?
I did, sir. At great length.
What did he say?
He had a word with me about certain advantages promised by Captain Povey if they do capture us, sir.
You know, old Thundergut's thinks of everything.
How much further up the Percule River, Mr. Phillips?
Oh, so that's where we... I mean, this should be about it, sir. Yes, yes. Ease into the shore a bit, Chief.
Aye, aye, sir.
A bit more. And a bit more. Right. Now drop anchor.
Drop anchor? Drop anchor? We're still about 20 feet from the shore.
Yes, that's all right, sir. I've worked it all out. It's very shallow. And if we go in any further, the terrorist might hear the boat scraping her, Well, if you'll pardon the expression, sir. Bottom.
Yeah, well, just this once. Right, Chief, have you got all the gear we need?
I'm afraid so, sir.
I've got the compass.
Really? I'm surprised you knew what it was.
Well, I didn't actually, but it had it written on the box, you see.
Right. Over the side, gentlemen. You go first, navigator.
Right. Follow me, chaps.
I don't think we'll bother to follow him just yet, do you?
No. Where is he?
Well, I don't know. I think he's round this side, sir. This is where he's at, floating on the water. Here he is.
It's going freezing in hell.
Deep, too, I gather.
No, this is it's just that I should have been about 3 feet taller.
You wouldn't have misread your chart by any chance, would you, sir?
No, of course not. I merely happen to feel like a midnight swim.
With all your clothes on.
Of course, it stops you getting cold.
Well, Goldstein and his terrorists can't be about. Well, they'd have heard Mr. Phillips doing his bedtime ablutions by now.
Yes, that's true. Up anchor and take the boat in a bit farther, Chief.
Very good, sir.
Once we get ashore, we'll keep well away from the main roads and work our way across country until we find the terrorists.
Well, Mr. Murray, sir, look, far be it for me to harp.
But you're going to.
With due respect, I am, sir, yes. Look, we've been walking for blooming hours. And there's that flaming windmill again, sir.
Good gracious, so it is.
What are you both getting so excited about? It must be a different one every time. There's more than one windmill in these parts, you know?
Yes, very likely, sir. But just how many are there with only one blade left and a notice saying Plymouth 57 miles beside it?
Well, it's hardly my fault if the chaps from Truro Council can't count, is it?
How's the uniform drying out, sir?
It's practically dry now, actually, thank you.
Yeah, I thought it must be. For the past 5 miles or so, you've been steaming immoderate.
Yes. At one time, I thought it must be getting foggy.
It's all very well for you to laugh.
Thanks, we were going to anyway.
Mr. Murray, sir, not so loud, would you? Goldstein would know that laugh a mile off.
Just a minute. I'm not sure, but that looks as if it might be the outline of a cottage just over there.
Where?
There.
Oh, I see what you mean, sir. Yes. Yes, it could well be. But if somebody lives there, they're not going to be too pleased to be knocked up at this hour, though, are they, sir?
Let's go and see. Lead on, Chief. We're nearly there.
Oh, I said...
I must say, it's a pretty little place, isn't it? I mean, ivy round the door, thatch roof, real bit of old England. The sort of cottage a chap...
Look, before you consider buying the property, how about knocking and ask them where the rosy brick dust it is?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, Chief. Right, here. Wakey-wakey. Anyone about?
Yes, right behind.
Who said that?
I did. Now, don't none of you move, because I got you covered. You're my prisoner.
Charlie Grantham, have you forgotten your front door key again?
Put that light out! Do you want us to get bombed with leaflets again?
Here, what's going on?
You've been caught. Now, what have you done with your parachutes, eh?
parachute?
Charlie heard your bombers go over earlier, so we knew you'd be about.
What's she talking about?
Aye, Jiminy Martha, they speak jolly good English, don't they? You'd never believe they were German spies, would you?
Oh, now look here.
Don't move. Don't fight with me, you Nazi. I've got the old striking power of the Home Guard behind me, so watch yourself. Now then, which one of you is Hitler?
Who?
Hitler. I reckon it's this one with a blonde wig.
What?
Well, maybe it's died. Yes, it is. It's going dark at the roots.
It can't be. It can't be. I gave it a rinse yesterday.
No arguments. Inside the lot of you, you're the second lot I caught tonight.
Second lot?
Yes, Charlie caught a great big fat one. We think he's goring.
Goring where?
Oh!
Stone me, sir. Fat so.
It must be Johnson.
Lummy, no wonder we never met the enemy.
You met him now. Inside, Hitler.
I am not Hitler.
Look, the war's over. The Home Guard stood down years ago. You must have been told, surely.
Ah, we got all those propaganda messages, but they didn't work. We're still on duty. Charlie Grantham, Mum.
Who?
Me. Charlie Grantham, Mum, he's not standing down until I get a letter signed by Mr. Chamberlain personally.
Front door safely locked, Charlie. What next?
Lock them in the larder with the other two, of course.
Hey, now, just a minute. I don't want to be larded in the locker. I mean, lock it in a load of lard.
All right, Mr. Phillips. No, I'll deal with this.
Shall I open the larder, Charlie?
No, not yet, Martha. Goring and his thin mate might try to rush us. We'd better be fully armed. Now then, where's my pike?
It's in a little shed out the back. But she's got a puncture in the back tire.
No. Pike, dear, not bike.
Oh, well, that's out in the little shed too, Charlie.
Yeah, if it was near your bike, I expect that's what punctured it.
Oh, I don't know. Charming, isn't it? Charming. Held prisoner by a nut in a 20-year-old uniform who wants to prod at us with a pike and shove us in a cupboard full of cornflakes. And all Mr. Murray does is make whimsical remarks and gay little jollities and end up with a hee hee. Well, I, for one, am not going to hee hee back.
Oh, sorry, pardon.
I say, have you noticed the wallpaper? It's all posters.
Yes, so it is. Careless talk costs lives. Give us the tools, we'll finish the job. V for victory.
Yes, and look. Look at that. Eat more carrots. Drink a pint of milk a day.
How the blazes did that one get in?
Join the Spitfire Fund. Save your salvage. Go to it.
I remember that one, yes.
Yes, you would.
I always wondered how you could go to it when you didn't know where it was.
I can tell you where it is. It's next door to the little hut, out the back.
Charlie, I think Goring's getting a bit uppity.
Right, into the kitchen, all of you. I've got you covered with this shotgun, so watch yourself. Air, long last air. Oh, lovely stuff.
Not that I'm complaining, mind, Fatso, but if you'd been the normal size, we'd have been all right for a lot longer.
You were right, you know, Chief. It is Johnson and Goldstein.
Silence! You're all prisoners of war now.
Oh, well, he's still here. I thought you'd come to rescue us, sir.
No, not exactly, I'm afraid.
We're prisoners of war too, apparently.
Yeah, and as such, according to the Geneva Convention, I demand my government shall be informed of my rank, name and number, in order, yeah, but I...
All right, Chief, let's not get carried away too. Now, there's a very simple way of clearing this up. We must contact someone in authority.
But we can't, sir. Don't forget, we can't tell anybody what we're doing or who we are.
I heard that one. And we know who you are, all right. You're Hitler and he's Goering.
Couldn't you ring the local police or something? I mean, they'd tell you.
Don't worry, I'm just going to. Martha, cover him with the gun while I phone up and tell Fred to get the cells ready.
Very well then, Charlie.
Before you go any further, I may as well warn you that if you do anything nasty, I shall phone my Uncle Edwin, the solicitor and ironmonger, and have you sued for alienation of his nephew's affection for breathing.
And while you're about it, Taffy, you can get him to write a letter to tell him I'm not happy. It's true, you know, I'm not the sort to complain as a rule, but if anyone wants to know, I am not happy.
We don't, so shut up, Nutterbox. What's it, Martha? I'm going to phone the station.
Hang on a minute or I'll drop a stitch.
Well, drop it, Gladys. This is an urgent military call.
Suit yourself, but if your balaclava helmet has a little hole in it, don't blame me. Number, please.
Give me Fred at the police station.
Oh, Charlie, you're not going to start your German spy game again, are you?
Put me through, Gladys, and don't charge me for it either. It's work of national importance.
North Peculiar Police here.
Fred, it's Private Grantimong speaking.
Oh, now, Charlie, you're not going to start your German spy game again, are you?
It's no game, Fred. I've got the jackpot this time.
That's what you said last time. Fred, you said I've caught a parachutist in uniform, you said. Trying to put his collapsible bicycle together, you said. That turned out to be Sid the Postman. Trying to get the chain back on his GPO bike.
Well, how was I to know? He was a new man, and when I saw GPO written on his hat, I thought it meant he was a Gestapo police officer.
Very likely, but that probably explains why you haven't had no mail through your letterbox ever since. Now, who have you got this time?
Oh, nothing much. Just Hitler, Goring, and the rest of the High Command. Take it from me, Fred. The rats have deserted the sinking ship.
Have they? Nice going, Charlie. But before we go any further, I think I'd better have a little word with Hitler. Personal line.
Right, Fred. Hang on. Hitler!
Yes. I mean, who?
Police Constable Fred Tiddy wants a word with you.
Mr. Murray said, I think you'd better take it in case Adolf here gets a bit confused.
Yes, perhaps it would be better if I took the call.
Right. Fred, here's Ribbentrop. And he's had his hair dyed and all.
Hello, Constable. Sorry to trouble you like this, but I'm sure I can explain everything quite satisfactorily.
Oh, I thought you could, sir. I'm used to old Charlie. Now then, if you wouldn't just mind giving me your name and where you come from.
Yes, certainly. My name is... Oh. Now, this is a bit tricky. I'm afraid I can't tell you my name.
I understand, sir. You wish to report yourself as a loss of memory case.
Yes. No!
I say, Chief, I don't think it's going too well.
It is as far as old Charlie's concerned. I think we're as good as in the larder.
Well, I hope we won't be in there too long, because we'll be starving.
Well, it was your idea. You said eat everything you can, it'll make more room.
Very likely. But that was an idea that failed miserably. All that happened was that you got bigger.
Mind you two, I'm on the phone. Hello.
Hello, sir. Look, if you can't tell me who you are or where you come from, perhaps you tell me what you're doing there.
Well, no, I can't, actually. You see, it's a military secret.
I see. Yes, well... Perhaps you better put me back to Private Grantham on there.
No, you don't understand.
Private Grantham, if you please.
Very well. Who wants you again?
Hello, Fred. Private Grantham speaking.
Lock him up, Charlie. You have got the jackpot this time. I'll be round as soon as I can.
Cool. If only there weren't so many shells in this larder, it would help.
Look, let's face it, sir. If Johnson wasn't in this larder, it would help.
Well, it wasn't my fault. It was Taffy's. He was the one who told me to eat everything, and I never want to see another cornflake again. When you have to eat them dry, they crunch, you know. Crunch, 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 crunch. It's jolly unnerving.
Well, you can say that again.
It's jolly unnerving.
You're obliged. When you got to the bottom of the packet, it sounded as if the foundation of the building were giving way.
Well, that was an accident. I didn't realise that big bit was a plastic Robin Hood. Mind you, his little arrow had a lovely flavour.
Yes, now let's stop chuntering about Johnson's size, which we all know and love, and concentrate on how we're going to get out of here.
Well, now, it's just a theory, of course, but I saw a film once where a lot of chaps made a horse out of wood, and a lot of other chaps, not the first lot of chaps, but a lot of other chaps, they dug a hole under the wooden horse, and they shored it up with a lot of wood, you see. Yeah. Not the wood that was in the wooden horse.
No.
There was some other wood, you see, some other chaps. Not the first chaps who were... Who were sitting on the wooden horse, but... Yes. No, I mean under, in the wooden horse. But no, which was over the hole that was shored up by the wood, you see, which had been got at by the other chaps, you see.
The wood.
Yes. With the other chaps. Or what was it... Was it the first lot of chaps and the second lot of wood, or was it the first place or the second lot of chaps with the first lot of wood?
What happened then?
I don't know. You see, just as all the chaps were getting in the horse, I dropped my iced lolly on the carpet. When I came up, a complete stranger was playing a selection from Showboat on the organ.
Yes. Well, I'm sure we all enjoyed that, sir. Yes. And with due respect, if we decide to make an horse, we know where to get the wood from. Your flaming head.
Yes, quite, Chief, but we got to get out of here somehow.
I'm not happy.
Oh, Beltan. Now, sir, look here. So, without being too much of a perspicatical, why don't we hop it through that little window up there, eh?
Right. If we give each other a leg arm, it should be possible to squeeze through.
Yeah.
Mr. Phillips first.
Right.
Yeah, stand on, Johnson.
Yes, good idea. You can't
wish for a more solid foundation.
Well, it's no good, sir. The window is too small. I can't get my head through.
Mr. Phillips, sir, why not try taking your flat hat off first, sir? With that sprawny peak you've got, it might make quite a difference.
Lummy, you're right. There's bags of room now.
Right, he's gone. You're next, Goldstein.
Well, I don't mind going next, sir, but if you don't mind, I'm leading Seaman Goldstein.
Don't argue and hurry up.
Aye, aye, sir.
I don't... Right, he's gone. After you, Chief.
Right, I've said. Are you ready to take the strain, Johnson?
Of course I am. You've been using me as a doormat for years.
Hurry up. Stone me. It's like standing on a plastic blancmange.
Hurry up.
Good morning.
Right, Johnson. I'll go up first, and then I'll pull you through.
Oh, is it?
Right.
My feet are through.
Oh.
Give me your arm.
Up
you come. Johnson, you really must go on a diet.
It's not me, sir. It's Robin Hood's little arrow laying a bit heavy.
Come on. That's your head through.
Is
right.
It? Right.
Now your shoulders.
Yeah.
Now then. All set for the big obstacle.
Eh?
Easy now. Easy.
I'm stuck.
Yes, I was afraid of that.
Here, what's happening in there, sir?
I'm afraid Johnson's caught amidships.
Help, I'm not happy. Help.
Be quiet, Johnson. Stay where you are.
Well, I've got no choice, have I, dear?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Just relax. We'll get help. If necessary, we'll go to Plymouth and get Captain Povey to get you out of this.
Captain Povey, here?
Oh, sorry to trouble you, sir, but the pride of the service and a Welsh terrorist are here to see you.
Good grief. I never thought they'd get to Plymouth. Well, show them in. Ah, well, gentlemen, come in. Oh, very nice to see you. Without wishing to be rude, you're the last people I expected to see in Plymouth.
It wasn't easy, sir.
So I gathered. The reports I've had from the umpires say that they've never seen a sign of you. I suppose you did make a landing?
Oh, yes, we did, sir. Here's a stick of St. Maur's rock. Lettered right through.
Where did you get that from?
He got it off the shelf of the Grantham's larder, sir. It was the only thing that Johnson didn't eat. It probably wouldn't have mixed too well with Robin Hood's plastic arrow, anyway.
Well, thank you, sir. It's rather a long story.
Is it? Yes. Well, you can dictate a full report to my secretary aboard Troutbridge as we sail back to Portsmouth.
Yes, certainly, sir. We should be only be too pleased. As we what?
Sail to Portsmouth in Troutbridge. Now, which dock is she in?
Which dock is she in? I wish I was dead.
Troutbridge. Mr. Phillips, which dock?
Me? well, it's... Lummy, we've forgotten. She's still at Falmouth. Yes, and as prisoner in the dock, that I demand a trial by jury. No, she's stuck in the larder. No, the defense rests.
Jumping jellyfish, I knew this was too good to last. What have you done with Troutbridge? Set her on fire, sunk her in the Carrick Roads, sold her to a foreign power? I wouldn't be surprised.
Excuse, not at all. Anytime, especially now.
Hello. Captain Povey speaking.
Good afternoon. Police Constable Fred Tiddy, North Peculiar Constabulary here, sir.
Who?
Police Constable Fred...
Never mind. Yes. I heard that bit. Now, what do you want?
Well, it's not me, exactly. It's a great big fat rating of yours named Agourin. Says you'll vouch for him.
What?
We just got him out of a larder window. With difficulty, I might add. Overeating himself, if you ask me. But he says he's on an exercise.
Yes, well, just a minute. Now, what's been going on? First you've lost your ship. Now a police constable says there's one of our ratings stuck in a larder window and calling himself Goering.
Ah, well, we can explain.
In time.
You see, sir, there was this home guard
with a punctured pipe in his shed.
What?
Hello.
And Johnson had eaten this plastic Robin Hood.
Now, look,
he never stood down. And there were these posters.
Yeah, you know the things. Never have so many fought for so few pints of milk a day.
I've been cut off, I think.
And it's prisoner in the war.
Isn't there a way to move? That was after Mr.
Anybody Phillips pulled there,
in the
fuel.
In the what?
Yes, well, we found out that Charlie had arrested the postman, the men in his chain.
And for this sake, let's find your ship wherever it is and get back to Portsmouth and my dear wife Ramona.
Hello?
I've had enough of all this.
Hello?
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray have been tangling with the law in the Navy Lark written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, and Taffy Goldstein was played by Tenniel Evans. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.